Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. This is Jacques Daniel, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Rapid City, here with Michael Pauly.
Right, and we have in studio today Father Tim Hoig.
Yeah, we're gonna keep moving. We've had a wide variety of conversations so far, but we're jumping to Father Tim Hoig, who's here in the flesh, and we're gonna be chatting a little bit. Maybe just tell us what you do here at the Chancery. I know you have you're pastor at a parish, but.
Yes, I'm the pastor of Blessed Sacrament Parish, but in addition to that, I'm what's called the judicial vicar. So the bishop has two vicars. One does that do two aspects of canon law for him. One does administrative law. That's the vicar general. That means he has general vicarious power over the whole diocese on behalf of the bishop. And then there's the judicial vicar. The judicial vicar handles all matters of law having to do with judging judicial matters. And in the absence of the bishop, the judicial vicar is the only one who remains. The vicar general ceases to exist, as well as the presbyteral council and the college of consultors, and the one who remains is the judicial vicar.
Okay. All right, there you go. So your job didn't change.
My job didn't change. And we do all matters of canon law, but mostly we work with marriage law and the processing of annulments.
Very good. And so downstairs here in the building, we have the tribunal offices, and you're here once a week. And tell us more about, I know people who know you and interact with you know exactly what you do, but for the rest of us, what is the tribunal and what do you do there?
So the tribunal is really a court of church law. And so downstairs, we have the judicial vicar. We have Father Mark Horn, who's a judge for the tribunal. Tammy Williams, who's our ecclesiastical notary. And then Dottie, who is our transcriptionist. All of our tests, we take depositions and we collect evidence, and all of that is recorded and then typed into text. And that's done by our transcriptionist. Then we have Father Leo Hausman, who comes in once a week. He's our defender of the bond, so I'll explain that in a minute. Then Father Tyler Dennis comes in once a week. He's an advocate and an auditor, as well as Father Robert Kenyon as well. And then we have assessors and other advocates that are Deacon Rich Olson, and Nancy Sass, and a few others that work together. And then we also have a psychological expert, Deacon Fred Tully, who works with us and sometimes assessing the evidence and helping us see things that we might not have the skills ordinarily to pick up.
And mostly the tribunal is, in regards to marriage, what is it looking at?
So when someone gets married, we assume that they have the three characteristics of marriage. They have to be knowing, willing, and able. And marriage is an act of consent, where two people will to give themselves to one another permanently, that they will to be faithful to one another, and they will to be open to the conception of children. The consent is like a multifaceted diamond. In a multifaceted diamond, even if one little facet is defective, the whole diamond is defective. And consent is like that. If there's one little facet of consent that's defective, then the whole act of consent is defective. And so those three kind of areas of consent, knowing, willing, and able. And there's multiple different aspects of consent under each one of those categories. And if one of those is missing, the whole act of consent is off. So when someone applies for an annulment, they're making a claim against their former marriage. They're claiming that there was some aspect within one of those three categories that was missing. And so what happens is the marriage itself goes on trial. And in the Catholic Church's legal system, the judge and the prosecutor are the same person. And so the judge who's instructing the case gets kind of on board with the person who's making the claim, and they prosecute the marriage. The marriage then has its own defender. That's Father Leo Hausman. He's the defender of the bond of marriage. He defends marriage. So now you have a defense attorney who's defending marriage. Marriage is on trial. You have a judge, and you have a prosecutor. The prosecutor has to collect evidence to prove that the marriage is defective. To do that, there's people called advocates. Advocates represent each of the parties making the claim, both the petitioner, the one who's making the claim, and their former spouse, the respondent. And the respondent could agree with the petitioner, or they could disagree. And sometimes it happens both ways. The respondent might say, yeah, I agree, the marriage was invalid because of this reason. And they could say, no, our marriage was valid. And whatever they say, they have a place in the court. Their opinion and their claim about the marriage will be investigated thoroughly. Evidence will be collected. And it's all put together. And then it's weighed to determine whether there's moral certainty. So in a court of civil law, in order to come to a conclusion, you have to show reasonable doubt. But in a court of church law, the judge has to be morally certain. So our bar is a lot higher.
Sure.
Yeah.
To morally certain. And sometimes we can't get to moral certainty, and then we have to rule in the negative. But for the most part, people who participate in the process usually find closure and healing. And the work that we do is, it's not glamorous work. It's not kind of flashy work. Sometimes we deal with the, kind of the dark side of human behavior. But it's vital and necessary work oftentimes to be able to reconcile someone to the church, back to the faith, or to help someone who wishes to get married in the church to do so.
Yeah. So, Father Hoyg, you talked about the role of advocates in the process, which is really important. And it's my understanding that there's a need for more people to play this role. Can you expand on that a little?
One of the things that prohibits people from getting an annulment is they say it just takes so long. I've got my case and it just took forever to get done. Well, that's mostly a manpower situation. We just don't have enough people to be advocates for the petitioner and the respondent, and also to take evidence and to review it. We do need more advocates. We'd like to have an advocate for every deanery in our diocese. An advocate helps a person walk through the annulment process. They would answer their questions. They would consider the evidence presented in the case, and they would eventually offer a written summary of the evidence and an opinion about the validity of the marriage. Now, if you're listening and you're thinking about being an advocate, you think, how am I going to learn all that? Well, we'll provide you training, provide you quarterly training. Once you're trained and you're participating in the tribunal, it would be about 10 hours a month you'd be offering us. Someone who is going to be an advocate needs to have the ability to read and synthesize several accounts of what happened in the marriage at the same time, an ability to critically evaluate evidence and from several sources, would have to have an ability to write well, ability to make sophisticated philosophical distinctions, and an ability to maintain strict confidentiality. And unfortunately, because the diocese came in $150,000 below what we hope to raise in our annual appeal, we can't pay you anything. We can't even pay you mileage. It's difficult work. It requires training. It's not glamorous. Most people who participate in the work of the tribunal, although all that's true, they would all say that it's fulfilling, I think.
Yeah.
It's a need that we have. If you have kind of a legal mind, you can think critically in this way, and you want to help smooth out the process of processing annulments quicker in our diocese. We could really use your help if you want to be an advocate.
So if someone listening feels moved to at least inquire more about this kind of work to see if they might be called to it, who should they get in touch with?
They can call the tribunal and talk to Tammy. She's in our ecclesiastical notary. We're also offering a commitment-free training this Friday, April 19th, from 1 to 4. And so if you're interested, all you have to do is call Tammy, and you can come to that training this Friday, April 19th, from 1 to 4 p.m. here at the Chancery.
My guess is if they talk to their pastor, he'll get them connected to the right person, too. Being in the Office of Marriage and Family Life, we just had a heart-to-heart retreat this weekend, and, you know, there are people that are coming and desiring to be in union with the church and in union with each other, and sometimes they have a long, messy past that they have to get sorted out, and so this is really is beautiful and important work, and unfortunately we can't pay you, but we do need your help. So,
right.
Thank you, Father Tim, for coming and joining us. And for those of you just tuning in, we've been talking to Father Tim Hoyg here from the Diocesan Tribunal offices, and you're gonna have to listen to the replay if you want to hear it again. But we're gonna take a short little break, and when we come back from the break, I saw my beautiful wife in the hallway. We're gonna be chatting a little bit about Shakespeare. So. Refill your coffee and come back and join us right after the break on Real Presence Live.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Daily Meditations of Pope Benedict XVI, presented by Leonardo DeFilippis of St. Luke Productions.
The deep desire of the Magi. Why did the Magi set off from afar to go to Bethlehem? The answer has to do with the mystery of the star which they saw in the east and which they recognized as the star of the King of the Jews, that is to say, the sign of the birth of the Messiah. So their journey was inspired by a powerful hope toward the kingship of God Himself. The Magi set out because of a deep desire which prompted them to leave everything and begin a journey. This is the mystery of God's call, the mystery of vocation. It is part of the life of every Christian. When the Magi came to Bethlehem, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Here at last was the long-awaited moment, their encounter with Jesus. Going into the house. This house, in some sense, represents the church. In order to find the Savior, one has to enter the house, which is the church. They fell down and worshipped him and offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Here is the culmination of the whole journey. Encounter becomes adoration. It blossoms into an act of faith and love which acknowledges in Jesus, born of Mary, the Son of God made man. The secret of holiness is friendship with Christ and faithful obedience to his will.
This meditation is taken from Benedictus, published by Ignatius Press and Magnificat, and produced by St. Luke Productions. Learn more at stlukeproductions.com.